grand slam for Rasmus.
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Pat Casey, baseball coach who was the head coach of the Oregon State Beavers. He is best known for winning the 2006 College World Series for Oregon State, first ever baseball national championship. The following year, get this, he led the Beavers to a repeat championship in 2007, the first unranked team in history to accomplish this feat. Pat had six College World Series appearances, three times College World Series champion. He was a baseball coach of the year. Many accolades, and we could spend all day talking about that, but then I wouldn't have time to interview my guest, Pat Casey. Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here and look forward to spending a little time with you here.
So you're in a reflective state now because you have retired from coaching, albeit you're still working in the athletic department, but you're retired. So you had to reflect on this, what was a fabulous career at Oregon State. I mentioned the national championships, but what are your takeaways from all those years coaching for the Beavers?
Well, I tell you, I could probably spend an hour just talking about the things that I experienced and the learning process it was for me. But probably the biggest takeaway I had is how important and how needed leadership is in our country with our youth. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to coach, guide, lead young men that are 17 to 21 years old is not only a challenge, but it's also a great opportunity to give those guys a little bit of a measure of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a man of faith and what it means to be a man and believing in who and what you are and trying to accomplish great things together. So when I saw how many kids come into the system that came out of places that they really didn't have the type of leadership that I would say is guiding them towards becoming the best version of themselves. And so I think that was the thing that I took away most was how important it is as a coach to be not only an instructor of the game of baseball, but a leader of men.
Well, many people might know about you is that you were quite an athlete. In fact, you were a two-sport athlete at the collegiate level, which is very rare in baseball and basketball. And then you get drafted in the 10th round by the San Diego Padres. You have a minor league career, but when did you know that coaching would be the next step for you after this long professional career in pro baseball?
Well, what's kind of funny is that I was released on Father's Day, June 22nd, 1987, and I was playing in Portland, and I'm from that area. I was playing for the Minnesota Twins organization, and I got a call from the athletic director at a real small Christian school, George Fox College, which is now George Fox University in Newburgh, and just asked me if I had to have any interest in coaching. And of course I said, no, I just got done with 7.5 years of minor league baseball. I have no interest in baseball. And he convinced me to come down and visit with the president, Ed Stevens, at the time. And, had a great conversation with him and made an agreement that I would take the job, with the ability to re-sign with a club if I had an offer and that they would understand that. And that kind of happened in August, but I decided that it wasn't. I asked to be on the 40-man roster and some things that kind of I knew weren't possible. And so, you know, that started my coaching career. I don't think that I ever envisioned that I'd stay in it, virtually making no money. And I just thought that it was a great way to stay competitive and pass the time until, you know, whatever I was going to do with my career, professional career, manifest itself. And that never happened. I just kept coaching. The next thing I know, I'm there 7 years and get a call from a gentleman that asked me to apply at Oregon State. And I did. And I moved down there and spent 24 years. So I was a head baseball coach for 31 years. And never really had a plan to do that, never really envision being a coach, and certainly never dreamed that I would spend that kind of time and that many years having the good fortune of being able to do that.
Plus to play Ron Meyer chatting today with Pat Casey, longtime head coach of the Oregon State Beavers, a three-time national champion. And Pat, let's talk about your time spent with the Beavers in Corvallis. And, you know, when you come into the Pac-10 at the time, and then it turns into the Pac-12, recruiting's at a premium. And you know, there's some blue blood schools there going out. There's some blue chip athletes. So how did you form these athletes and build a cohesive program and a winning program at the same time?
Well, you know, there were just different steps of that we had to accomplish. Number one, we had to get the right type of player here, the type of player that I felt would fit into our system, and the type of player that wanted to be at Oregon State. And then we had to, you know, get competitive with facilities. And so I got permission from the athletic director to go out and try to raise funds to build a stadium. And I don't think he thought that we were going to be able to do that because, you know, we were in a small market. We were in a place where at the time we were only playing in the north. The north and the south hadn't combined. They didn't combine until 99, but was able to run into some people, and in particular one family that made a major contribution. And we built a facility that allowed us to kind of get competitive with a few people recruiting. And then it came down to, you know, actually winning, you know, mm-hmm. doing what we said we were going to do with young guys, and having those guys really become our ambassadors for the program. And, you know, it was a step-by-step process, and we finally continued to get what I thought were high-caliber character people who became better baseball players. And we eventually broke through, and in 05 we won the Pac-12 championship, and at the time it was the Pac-10. Won the entire thing, went to our first College World Series, and from that point forward, you know, it was a lot of doors open for us in a lot of places that we'd never been before. But basically, we stayed true to our roots. You know, most of our core players were from, you know, the West Coast, in particular the Northwest, Central California to the Canadian border. So. We just put a system in place that we thought would work for us, and we just were unwilling to, deviate from that particular path that we thought was the path that would get us where we wanted to go. And we didn't change our system. We got better at what we did, but we certainly got a higher caliber player year after year. You know, as far as the numbers, we always had good players, but maybe you had one or two, or maybe three or four that you would consider be top, you know, Pac-10 players. You know, that just wasn't enough to compete in that conference. And so that was the challenge. We met that challenge, and obviously we really got ourselves in a position where we're getting players that anybody in the country would want.
Yeah, and those back-to-back national championships. And sometimes, you know, I just say that they won back-to-back national championships. It's really an amazing feat, because just to get to the College World Series on back-to-back occasions is quite a feat. And everyone is gunning for you, especially the year after you win that national championship. What was the mindset? What did you communicate to your team to keep them in that competitive mindset and know that they could recapture that championship once you went to Omaha?
Well, you know, it's what's interesting about the back-to-back, you know, trips to Omaha in 05 and 06, and then winning in 06. When you come in 07, I think that there was a little bit of us that felt like the people that were in place were going to be good enough to meet the challenge, because we lost virtually every player on our team after the 06 season other than our catcher and our shortstop, and we lost every pitcher that had pitched any significant innings other than two. So I think that I was probably surprised at the challenge that it presented, you know, because we struggled most of the year. We were the national champions. Not only did everybody want to beat us, we'd also lost a ton of talent that we had on the field. We lost a ton of cohesiveness, chemistry, anything you want to call it. We were putting seven out of our nine position players on the field that had not been there, and replacing basically four or five of our top six pitchers. So that challenge in itself was an eye-opener. But I think what happened is that at the probably at the halfway point of conference, and we were sitting in the middle of the conference, you know, the realization that we could do this and we just needed to get back to believing in what we were all about and not worry about winning a national championship or defending the national championship. We needed to pursue and be aggressive in how we pursued winning baseball games. We started to become a better team. We became a team that realized what we could do. And then at the end, ultimately, we got hot at the right time. You know, we went back to Virginia in the regional and lost to Virginia and then came back and we won our first game, then lost our second game to Virginia. Then we won and never lost again. We won all the games there, won the Super Regional, and never lost a game in the College World Series. And that's the only time that I had ever done that in six tries. And it was probably the least talented team I had. But it was certainly the team that was playing as well as any team that I ever took there at that time.
Pat Casey is the only coach in NC2A history to lead a team to the national championship after playing in six elimination games, which he accomplished twice in 2006 and 2018. When Blessed to Play returns, we'll talk about where Pat Casey sets his foundation. Faith is at the core of this collegiate baseball coach. More with Pat Casey when Blessed to Play returns after this.
Dear family, let us pray together Mother Angelica's prayer for the United States. Lord God, I ask in all humility that you bless this country as unworthy as we are. Protect it from every evil. Protect it from the enemy. Protect it, Lord, that it may accomplish thy will and keep thy commandments. I ask, Lord, with a pleading heart, to look down upon us in our unworthiness. Give this country a renewal of devotion to you, to your law, and to your commandments, Lord. Let us be once more a country under you, Lord. May we once more say, in God we trust. Guide us and protect this country from every evil and every harm. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Pat Casey. He coached the Oregon State Beavers to three College World Series championships. He was a Baseball America College Coach of the Year. Over 1,000 wins. That's a lot of wins in collegiate coaching. He's now retired, but still working in the athletic department at Oregon State. And Pat, what a lot of people don't know about you, they know you're a great baseball coach, but faith is at really the core of who you are, your Catholic faith. And I know you are a daily mass communicate, you go to adoration, but when did faith become such an important part of Pat Casey's life?
Well, you know, I would like to be able to pinpoint that and give you a day, but I think that basically my parents and the people that they had me surrounded with going to a Catholic school. I don't know if faith was ever not part of my life. I know for sure that there was a lot of times in my life that I didn't do a good job of professing, practicing, or acting in my faith. That's for sure. So I think I was always aware. I was always around, and I always knew what it meant to be a man of faith, a person of faith, someone that lived their faith. I just didn't always do it. And I think that when I got down here to Oregon State, probably about 2 years into it, one day I was driving, you know, to work and went by the Catholic Church and had been an individual and a family that had gone to weekly mass on Sundays and rarely missed that. But just thought, hey, I'll stop in and go to daily mass, probably for my own good, thinking that this is a very stressful job, you know, and just discovered how important that was and started to do it on a daily basis until it became just part of what I was going to do every day. And that was that every day that I can go to mass. And it helped me tremendously in my faith. It helped me tremendously in being a coach and being a family man and being a husband and a dad. And, it was amazing when people say things like, oh, you know, wow, you're just such a good man to go to mass every day. I go, look, God did that for me. I didn't just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to drive down there and go to mass because I'm a good guy. It was almost a calling to, hey, stop now. It's time to step up a little bit. Mm-hmm. and find out that there's more to faith than just going to mass on Sunday. And even though I knew that, and even though I had many, many times prayed and read the Bible and acted in faith, it wasn't a continuous or it wasn't a practice that I thought was something that was necessary every day. Mm-hmm. And so I just can't tell you how thankful I am that God basically, in my opinion, made it almost what you do with people that are hard-headed. You almost have to hand walk them in there. So that's what he did for me. And all I had to do was say yes.
Now, in your profession, there's a lot of noise. I mean, you're constantly, you're recruiting, you're coaching, you're playing. And those times going to St. Mary's Parish in Corvallis for Eucharistic adoration, was that a peaceful refuge for you? And did it help you to reflect on some of those decisions you had to make in your professional and personal life?
Absolutely. You know, I think that I always called it was the calm in the storm for me. And, you know, I'm a very, I coach, you know, I guess you'd say wear my emotions on my sleeves. I'm not a guy that sits there and watches the games. I actually participate and get excited and jump up and down and make a little noise and ruffle some feathers. And, you know, I'm part of it. And so I do think it was something that was necessary for me. It helped me to separate that part of my life from the part that was the core or the inspiration or the foundation of how I should coach and how I should act and how I should pursue it. And so, like I said, I was one of the lucky ones. You know, I didn't just on my own decide that one day that I wanted to go to mass every day. Mm-hmm. I was given that opportunity, shown the door, and all I had to do was walk in. So I'm appreciative of the fact that my parents gave me such a great Catholic foundation, sent me to a Catholic school, that I knew how important it was. I understood how people of faith live. I just wasn't doing a very good job of it. So, you know, that goes all the way back to when I was a grade school and my parents, there were seven of us, and you know, my parents didn't have a lot of money, but one thing that they were going to make sure of is that we got a Catholic education. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that, because I can tell you, I can still remember every one of my teachers' names. I can tell you who was in my class. I can tell you things that I'll never forget. And it was a great experience, but it was also an unbelievable place to be, that you would have a family that would put the faith above maybe having a few extra things that we could have had in our home that we didn't have because they were used to pay for our schooling.
Mm-hmm. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer chatting with Pat Casey, longtime baseball coach at Oregon State, won 3 national championships. And Pat, you had to make a tough decision after this long and illustrious career, over 30 years in coaching, to step down. It was something that was on your terms. Talk about that decision-making process, and I'm sure you went to prayer before you made that decision.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was a head coach for 31 years, and like I said, I don't like asking something of my players that I'm not willing to do myself. So, you know, I just felt coming back after the 18 World Series that I wasn't positive I could come out and coach at the same level of intensity and energy and excitement that I had, and I wasn't going to do that at the expense of the players. I just wasn't going to give somebody 90% effort. So I couldn't come to that conclusion that I was able to do that. So I stepped down, and that was a very difficult thing to do. Certainly prayed about it. Don't know if I ever got a concrete answer. I was always a little bit upset with the Lord over that. He was supposed to tell me, yes, definitely, right? You know, so he didn't make it as easy as I thought. I had an opportunity to coach again this year, thought that I would really take that opportunity, but I just couldn't come to moving my son, my oldest son, out of the environment he's in. And he's a special needs kid, and you know, he can walk to the school here, he can walk to this athletic club, we're four blocks from the church. So just a lot of good things about him, and so we'll see what the next step in life is. And like I said, you know, I still have the title of an associate AD, working with our athletic director in a special assistance role. And, you know, there's some things about that are good, too. It's certainly not the level of excitement and competitiveness, and it's not as rewarding. You don't get a chance to work with young people as much as you do when you're with them on an everyday basis. So, but that's kind of what life is. You know, there's new challenges every day, and I think that for me, the things that were good for me in coaching and the things that I enjoyed the most, it's a challenge not to be around those, but I also think there's some very good things that I can accomplish. I started a foundation called SOAR, which is Share Our Abundant Resources, and it's SOAR 4. If you go to soarvision.org, you can pull it up and see it. It's basically just trying to help those that need some help. And thus far, I've been able to do everything myself. So, you know, 100% of our money goes to those four areas of which we identified. One is feeding the hungry, and two is housing the homeless, and three is medical, hospital, any type of needs, in particular for children. And four is for education, or those that educate. So there's just a lot of good things that I think I can do there. I think I can help direct, you know, people that want to help other people, so it gets right to the people that need the help. And that's one of the things I think is missing in a lot of our charities, where we have a lot of overhead. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about really getting out and challenging myself to do that, because it's not an easy thing to do, to go ask people for help. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's always all kinds of challenges.
Yeah, it sounds like those are corporal works of mercy that you're putting into action, and definitely for a good cause. I wanted to ask you about your players. They have to had some indication that you're a spiritual person, and you're not just looking at them as a commodity or just as a baseball player. But talk about the relationship with your players. I know they came from many different faiths. Some probably were Catholic, Christian, no faith. So talk about how that worked out for you as well.
Well, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, you can say a lot of things and tell people a lot of things, and those things really don't matter unless you actually do them. So I would hope my players would identify me and what kind of person I am by how I acted. And sometimes that wasn't in the heat of the moment. Sometimes that I don't believe that you'd be looking at me going, man, he's a good Christian man. But I also think that they understand that the nature of being a Christian doesn't mean that you do everything right. It means that you attempt to do everything right, and you attempt to do it for the Lord. I can't tell you I tried to live my life that way. I know that I went on the road no matter where we were at, whether it was Los Angeles or Phoenix. I never missed Mass on Sunday. We would have a game, and there are always day games. And sometimes I was not even able to ride the bus to the ballpark. I'd have to Uber or take my rental car and get there, and, you know, maybe dress a little later than them. You know, never missed any part of a game, never missed any part of BP, anything like that, but might miss the getting there off the bus together, getting in the locker room, getting dressed, some things like that. So I certainly didn't do that for show. I did it because that's who I am. I'm sure that, you know, they recognize that. But like I said, I think that, you know, for me to speak about how they feel about what kind of man I am would be something that, would be hard for me to do, because I would hope that they view me the way I think that they should view me, but that may not necessarily be the case. So the one thing about coaching is that it leaves a lot of room for it's a very hard thing to do because of the fact that you're a parent, you're a coach, you're a leader, you are one of the team. I always said I'm one of the guys on the team. I'm not a player, but I'm one of the guys on the team. I'm part of what we do. And it's a competitive situation. And sometimes that you get your vowels messed up when you're talking to somebody. And sometimes you get a little angry when you shouldn't. And so it was a challenge. It was a challenge for me. But, you know, you're no better than how you're graded out by those that you're with. So it matters not what I think. It's just what they think.
Yeah, some good words there. And the word is real. And that's what it's all about, living a life certainly pleasing to God. Well, Pat Casey has been our guest. What can I say? One of the best collegiate baseball coaches in the history of the game. Won three national championships from 1995 to 2018 with the Oregon State Beavers, and really set his foundation on his faith, which made him a better man and the people around him, I'm sure. Pat, thanks so much. I appreciate the time and for joining us today here on Blessed to Play.
Hey, my pleasure, man. God bless you.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can like us on Facebook and hit us up on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Pat Casey, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.